Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Wednesday, January 16th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarbino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Thanks, Michelle, for the introduction, and tonight is Wednesday, a great show planned. I believe we're going to go about 1 hour tonight. I have some couple things I need to get done tonight, but I know we can cover it all in 1 hour. So if you want to get started and give us a call, 646-716-5564. We'll be taking calls anytime during the show. Trey, I hope everything is going good with you, man. How's it going?
Hey, buddy, how's it going tonight?
Well, doing good. Like I was saying, we're going to have to cram it in an hour, so we better get started.
Let's get to it, man. Let's get that call-in number and let's rock and roll.
All right, again, 646-716-5564. And join us in the chat room if you get a chance to. It'll start filling up momentarily. But, Trey, you know, for the week before the playoffs start, there's a lot of, you know, news going on in the college football world. You know, big news today out of Oregon. And it's kind of surprised me. I thought, you know, it was all said and done that Chip Kelly was staying in Oregon. But, hey, all of a sudden he takes the Philly job and he's off to Philadelphia, leaving Oregon, in my opinion, in a tailspin. But, you know, they knew it was going to happen eventually. But how do you replace a coach that took you to 4 BCS games in 4 years, Trey?
Well, I mean, it's going to be really hard. And there's Chip Kelly was sort of becoming a staple there, not only with, obviously, you know, the Oregon athletic department, but with recruits, you know, and Nike was doing a very good job of getting that program, you know, very excitable for young recruits. I mean, you know, this is a surprise. There were recruits who posted on Twitter today from Oregon that, you know, Chip Kelly was in their home 2 days ago and trying to recruit them to Oregon, you know. So this, you know, this really heated up in the last 24 hours, Tarvin.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, I know he did he interview with the Eagles prior to saying he's coming back to Oregon, is what I'm thinking. He already interviewed with him, but do you think he got, you know, wind of maybe some NCAA, the punishments were actually going to be severe, and he just wanted to go ahead and take this opportunity to leave while he's in good standing with Oregon?
So I think that could be, I mean, we could be seeing something with Oregon. I think that, you know, with Chip Kelly, I think you probably got to, you know, I think he, you know, he interviewed with him as far as I can tell. And then, you know, I guess they didn't come to terms. You know, they didn't give Chip Kelly what he wanted. I think what really happened here is, you know, there's partly with the NCAA. I think the other part, Tarvin, is really that, you know, they called him back and said, hey, you know, we interviewed some other folks and we're really interested in you. You know, what can we do to get you here? So, you know, I think the Eagles had a big part of this as well.
You know, it's a sad day for me because I actually love Chip Kelly, Trey, and you've always heard me speak highly of him. I think he's a great man, a great coach, and a lot of people, Oregon fans, some of, that I'm hearing are bashing him, saying he's a liar. But, hey, he's taking a job trying to better himself and his situation. Let him take a shot at the NFL. If it doesn't work out, some school's going to be very lucky, kind of probably like Alabama was when Saban returned to college after failing in the NFL. So Trey, how many big schools would have their arms wide open if Chip Kelly fails in the NFL?
Well, I can tell you this. I mean, there would be a very few amount of jobs that wouldn't be interested in Chip Kelly. I mean, obviously Alabama's got it covered, and there's some other big schools. But, you know, there are a number of schools that would be happy if Chip Kelly fails in the NFL to welcome him into their programs.
But when you look at Kelly, what he's accomplished, I mean, it's unbelievable, Trey, in the short amount of time he was the coach there. What was he, like 46-7 in 4 seasons? Led him to 4 BCS ball games and a national championship game. I mean, he finished 12-1 this season. I mean, it's just like he's a winner. And his system, you know, works at Oregon. Will it work in the NFL?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think that if you're talking about the teams that he interviewed with at first and that had vacancies, of all those teams, you have to think that the Eagles play best into a Chip Kelly type of scenario. I mean, you got LeSean McCoy, and you have Bryce Brown at running back, both of whom could definitely run the kind of offense, you know, at the running back position. The real question mark is do they need to go out and draft somebody, or is Nick Foles that answer? And, you know, hopefully for Chip Kelly, you know, he's watched enough tape and already knows the answer to that.
There's no way Foles is Chip Kelly's quarterback, Trey. I just can't imagine him being the caliber quarterback that fits the system he runs.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I didn't see a whole lot of Foles that I liked this year. There are certainly those who disagree with us, though, Tarvin. I mean, who think that Nick Foles is a premier type of quarterback and can actually really parlay his skills into a an offensive set that matches his skills. And I'm just not sure that he's the kind of guy who can run Chip Kelly's offense. But, we could be wrong. I mean, we saw Nick Foles for a very small period of time this year.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Chip Kelly's offense, though. I really think he's gonna bring some parts, some dynamic of his offense, Trey, but I really think he's gonna use what he has, the strength of all of his team, all of his players. He has a lot of speed, though, which is a good thing. But I think you're going to see bits and pieces of that Chip Kelly offense. But I think he's an offensive genius. I think he can almost create any offense he wanted to run. I think he's going to be very successful. I mean, it might not be this year or 2 years down the road, but give him time, he'll build it at Philly, and they'll be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, I mean, you got to also think, Tarvin, they got some pretty talented wide receivers in Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson. So this is a team with talent and with speed. So, I mean, if Chip Kelly is the offensive guru that he has certainly proved in the college ranks, he has some talent there to work with in the Eagles, certainly a lot better talent than the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Cleveland Browns have. So, when you're talking about can an offensive guru come in and change the system, I mean, look at the rushing yards the Eagles have each year under the last 4 years have decreased in rushing rank. Chip Kelly's a guy who I think, is going to come in and try to, change that mindset.
Yeah. So, I mean, who does Oregon go after, Trey? I just can't imagine them settling for some assistant coach right now at Oregon. I know you want to keep that offense intact in a way, but I really believe Oregon, the state of where their program is, four consecutive BCS games, I think they could go out and get a big-time head coach, and I really think that's what they need for recruiting purposes.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and if somebody in the chat room thinks I'm wrong here, but I think the last two times Oregon's promoted an offensive coordinator to their head coach. So, I think that we're looking at the offensive coordinator and for the Ducks to be promoted to the head coach. Now, I know Oregon's come out with a statement today and said, hey, we're not going to rush this, but I don't think that's true, Tarvin. I think that they're going to have to rush this decision because of recruiting. You have the two big twins, they're two top prospects, if you will, the twin brothers, who now have not decommitted from Oregon but opened up their recruiting. So, and they have USC breathing down those guys. So, for Oregon, this is going to be a very, very tough and quick decision because of those big recruits. You don't want to lose them this close to signing day.
Yeah, no, that's the rush. I mean, recruiting. How many of these coaches that, say Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama, they're like, wow, Chip Kelly's gone. Let's just throw something at these guys and see if we can get one or two of them. And I think you're going to start seeing them drop like flies because, I mean, you have UCLA right now in the Pac-12 that's starting to turn the table and be a force to be reckoned with. You have, I don't think Southern Cal is headed that direction, but there's other teams, SEC schools. I mean, they've expanded the 14, Trey, and I'm sure somebody like Missouri, somebody a little farther west could actually pick up someone. Texas A&M, that offense would go good at Oregon at Texas A&M. So I'm just real intrigued about this, Trey. How many, give me a number right now, how many current commits does Oregon lose because of this?
I think you're talking about maybe two, Charlie. I don't think it's going to be an exodus, but I think what they're going to do is they're going to promote the offensive coordinator. As we know from a lot of these kids, it is, offensive coordinators, running back coaches, defensive back coaches who do a lot of the recruiting. So I think, it depends on, and what we still know is the X factor is how many of those coaching staff members leave with Chip Kelly. Because I'm hearing a couple of them already may be whispered out. Now, I'll change my prediction. If you have two or three of those guys go to the NFL, then I think, you may lose maybe five or six of those guys because of that. So it's really going to be a challenge for Oregon right now to determine not only with Chip Kelly leaving, Tarvin, but are there other coordinators leaving too?
Well, tell me this, Trey, and I don't know if you thought about this since it just came out, but tell me, Oregon, you know, preseason next year, they're already talking about being number two behind Alabama possibly. So Chip Kelly leaves now. Really, where do you rank them? Will it affect their ranking preseason?
I think it will. I mean, I think a lot of people are going to have to readjust depending on who they hire and depending on some of that recruiting because, you know, Oregon, and especially on defense, isn't deep enough to basically have a lag in recruiting. They have to keep people in there because that defense is not to where the offense was under Chip Kelly. I mean, that was the big weakness they had was, you know, can that defense stop folks? So, you know, they're going to have to keep up with recruiting and to keep up, you know, not only to withstand injuries next year, like, you know, they had some in the defense this year and they couldn't withstand that Stanford game. So it's going to be come down to those keys, Tarvin, whether they're going to come out, you know, preseason rank number two, you know, or five or six.
But I just wonder how much of their success is Chip Kelly. So you take Chip Kelly away from this equation the last four seasons, I mean, you're talking about recruiting, play calling, hiring, development of players, attitude. I think Chip Kelly's attitude, it rubs off on a lot of these players. He's a very positive person, very fun to be around. I think it's going to be very hard for Oregon to replace this, man. I really think Oregon, I mean, I don't know if they'll struggle next year. They'll probably win 9 or 10 games, but I think after that, I think you're going to start seeing a drop-off in talent.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, as much as I know this may pain you to hear, the big winner in the Chip Kelly leaving could be USC because there was a number of their top recruits at Oregon who actually, you know, either USC commits or Oregon was still basically, you know, vying after. And then there's those two twin brothers who had offers at USC now and have opened up their scholarships, you know, whether they're going to go to Oregon or USC. So, you know, the other Pac-12 members, but specifically USC, could benefit the most here.
Yeah, and look at Chip Kelly, what he did out of four seasons. He won three Pac-12 championships, Trey. I mean, three. His winning percentage, .868. And, the only one higher besides that, it went pro, Pete Carroll, .836.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's an amazing winning percentage, man. I mean, you can't put a price tag on that. You can't really discuss it and really appreciate it like it is. I mean, this guy's a winner, and I really think his infectious attitude, his personality is the toughest thing to replace at Oregon. I hope they find somebody good because they're going to need that in order to win national championships. But you know what, Drake? Chip Kelly laid the foundation. If he fails in the NFL, I think Oregon will open up and give him a job back.
Well, I mean, that's going to be an X factor determined on what the Nike people think because, I mean, you know, the Nike folks love Chip Kelly and they put a lot of money into that school because they believed in what he could do with that program. You know, you just don't know the inner workings of what happened. If anybody's, you know, left bitter, you know, if Chip Kelly does fail, I just don't know. You know, we'll have to see how Oregon does, you know, with, you know, their new head coach.
Hey, welcome Tino back, Dre. Tino is in the chat room. He's been working for a few weeks. He's been away from us, but Tino, welcome back, brother. Glad to have you back in the chat room. So Tino always livens things up, Dre.
Absolutely. I was getting worried about Tino, you know, with Auburn and, you know, the whole coaching staff. I was like, well, maybe Tino's doing okay because Gus Malzahn's putting together a pretty good coaching staff. You know, we should – yeah, well, maybe we can think Tino's okay again now.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's back trying to get to their winning ways, and Tino's back, so it's a perfect Wednesday. So speaking of Pac-12, I read something where Southern Cal, after the bowl game, after their Georgia Tech loss, Trey, there was fistfights going on in the locker room, and actually some of the underclassmen were questioning Matt Barkley's, you know, being injured, actually saying there's leadership issues. So, I mean, has Lane Kiffin lost his program, if he even ever had it in his grasp, Trey?
Well, I mean, I'm not a big Lane Kiffin fan, and not only for control, you know, of how he controls his program, but also, you know, some of the things that happened in Lane Kiffin's past that have turned me off on him. So, you know, I'm really, really surprised, and I know USC's having another outstanding recruiting season, and maybe that's the reason why Lane Kiffin is still the coach at USC. But I'm just, you know, I'll tell you, I think Lane Kiffin's days are numbered. I don't see him living past last season and this next season in USC. And for a lot of the reasons why, you know, the things going on in the locker room. We'll see if, you know, if they lose some of these big recruits, Tarvin, that'll be the real key there to determine if USC and the program decides that Lane Kiffin's had enough.
So tell me what you think about Monty Kiffin going to the Dallas Cowboys as defensive coordinator. I think that's a great hire by Dallas, Trey.
Well, you know, he's had a lot of success in the NFL, but if you look at what he did at USC, you can't be all that impressed. So, you know, I'm not sure it's a great hire for Dallas. I just, especially now that Chip Kelly is going to be in the division and Chip Kelly's had his way with Monty Kiffin defenses. So, you know, I have a little question mark of whether Monty Kiffin is still the kind of coach who can coach in the NFL at a high level. We'll have to see, Tarvin, because Dallas does have some definite talent on defense. And, you know, I liked some of their moves last year on defense. So we'll have to see, Tarvin. I'm withholding judgment on Kiffin going to the Cowboys.
Well, I think he fits better in the NFL. He knows that temperature. He knows how to coach professionals. And he's not working for his spoiled son. You know, it would be hard to work under someone that didn't know a third of what you knew or even close. So I think that's part of the problem. I think he had a lot of worries on his mind with his son. When he coached at Tennessee, I wasn't impressed. And when he coached at Southern Cal, I wasn't impressed, Trey. But I was impressed in the NFL when he coached.
Well, and that's going to be the deciding, you know, whether or not his skill set really is for the NFL. And if he comes out and has a great defense, we'll know a lot about Lane Kiffin, that's for sure.
Well, I want to throw something out here while we're in college real quick before we get to our NFL breakdown. Trey, Teo from Notre Dame, you know, the story they were running said, you know, he lost his grandmother and girlfriend to cancer in the same day and blah, blah, blah. Well, it came out that it was a hoax, actually. And now Teo's coming out and saying that he was fooled, actually, from some girl online. But are you buying Teo's cover up on this, saying he thinks it's a hoax? I think he was trying to get attention. What do you think?
Well, I got to tell you, I haven't seen the whole story. I haven't watched the press conference from Notre Dame. I saw a lot of tweets on it. I'm going to not make a decision on this until I've read more of the story, until more comes out. I mean, it strikes me as extremely odd. What I'm hearing is this was an online relationship only. But then also there's reports that, you know, Monty Teo's dad may have met this girl in Hawaii. So there's just a lot of things that don't make sense in this story. You know, it's either really sad that Monty Teo is such a gullible guy and had this relationship online and got duped, or it's just very troubling that a superstar athlete would think that he needs this kind of attention because, I mean, you know, this guy was getting attention no matter what. So, you know, it's troubling no matter which way you look at it.
And think about it, if you're an NFL player, you know, he's coming to your team, really. He's gonna be the butt of every joke in the locker room. Do you really want that distraction on your team?
Well, you know, if I could be a fly on the wall for one NFL interview during the during this process when they're getting, you know, going through all their Wonderlic testing and doing their interviews with the team, I think he would be the guy this year, Tarvin. I would love to hear some of the questions that come out of these personality questions from the NFL teams about Monty Teo. And based on his performance and, you know, mostly based on his performance in the national championship game, I think he was sliding already, maybe even late into the first round. And I think now he may even slide to the second or third. So with that kind of talent that he has, if a team takes a chance and can get his act together, and he may be a steal in the second or third round.
Yeah, where's Quinn at in this whole debacle here? Quinn, if you're listening, man, call in and tell us what happened to your boy Teo. I mean, he went from the best linebacker, best player in the country to, you know, I mean, at least A.J. McCarron's girlfriend's real. They showed her on TV, Trey. I mean, she's a model, but what about this guy? I mean, does he really have to make up a girlfriend, especially in Indiana? So I just don't understand, guys. So if you're out there, you want to call in, please call in 646-716-5564. Would love to hear from you. And Trey, anything else on this story you want to add, sir?
No, I mean, there's a lot still coming out. I think that by Sunday we'll know more about this whole Teo situation. Tarvin, I got to tell you, like,
And I love talking about Twitter. I love folks who follow us on Twitter. I love interacting. Well, you know, there's a lot of jokes that have been made about this, which are pretty funny, and I'm not going to get into a lot of that. But, you know, there is something to be said to, Teo's character in this, in one way or the other, how this goes. I mean, whether Teo is the goat here and was really roped into something that was very unfortunate, or whether he participated in some random scheme, which is even more disturbing.
Yeah, so Teo, man, you just probably cost yourself millions of dollars, but like Trey said, we need to wait until we see the whole story. I mean, you never know who might have made this up or what's true or not. But Trey, I mean, looking at this, let's go to the NFL real quick before we start the games. Did you see who the Chicago Bears hired as their head coach?
Yeah, the Montreal Alouettes coach. This guy, I got to tell you, I'm actually very intrigued by this hire. I've had a lot of guys, Jay Cutler and apparently Brandon Marshall, were very happy with this decision. So, he's intriguing, Tarvin. I didn't know a whole lot about him, until he got named the head coach, and then you start seeing, his history. And, the guy's got some interesting credibility with quarterbacks and systems. So we'll have to see if this guy won two A Cups and the Canadian Football League is ready to take on the NFL again.
I mean, Trey, this is a joke. I mean, you could have almost any coach you want in Chicago, and you go out and get some guy like this. And trust me, I mean, you fired Smith for this. That's the problem. I mean, you could bring somebody in at least that had a clue on defense. And I think that's what you need in Chicago. I don't know. It's kind of like a Mike Martz, Trey. I mean, they stuck with him calling the plays before, and then they had another guy. But, I mean, I don't understand why you'd hire kind of like an arena league guy to run your team in Chicago.
Well, I mean, first off, I thought Lovie Smith should be fired. I mean, I think the team went with the players versus the coach. I mean, Lovie wasn't getting along with, some of their stars. And they weren't happy, so, this is one of those classic scenarios where the ownership chose the players. So, given that decision's already been made, I'll be honest, Carver, I'm a little intrigued by this, and I don't know if it'll work out, but I kind of like the different thinking and getting somebody who, perhaps isn't on our number one list of people we know about.
Yeah, I mean, that's great for him, but one thing that surprised me is the staff he's starting to put together so quick. I believe they got a coach from the Saints, and I read earlier, I can't remember everything, but it looks like that there's some coaches out there that really want to coach with him.
Well, yeah, and this guy was actually, there's a couple, he's already got a Saints coordinator off their offense. So, I mean, there's a couple of, I saw some tweets for some NFL athletes who we're really happy, really high on this guy, apparently, So, whether he is still, I guess, viable in the NFL is going to be the real question, because he hasn't had an offense, what I would say was more modern, in the NFL in a while. So can what he was doing up in Montreal correlate now to the NFL? And that's the real key to all this is, is this guy still able to run an offense in, the rapidly changing NFL?
Well, here's a couple other coaches that went from the CFL to the NFL. Marv Levy, we all know Marv Levy. Bud Grant, he went from the Blue Bombers to the Vikings. Forrest Gregg, and now Mark here. So I don't know. I mean, he might do great. He's 57 years old. I mean, he's coming off an 11-7 season in the CFL. So I'm not very impressed with the hire, Trey, honestly. But, hey, he's got to do it in the NFL first. He might go undefeated as far as I know. But right now, if I'm a Bears fan, I feel like I've been slapped in the face.
Well, I think we can all guarantee he probably won't go undefeated.
Yeah, I don't think he will. But speaking of NFL, Trey, I'm getting excited about Sunday's playoffs. We have the AFC and NFC championship games. I mean, all I've heard all week so far is the Falcons are going to get trashed by the 49ers, Trey. So I'm very interested to see who you're picking in this game. So you want to get us started on the Atlanta – you want to start with the Atlanta-San Francisco game?
Yeah, I'll tell you, as I've kind of been looking at this game and looking at how Atlanta has sort of held, really held on to those quarterbacks who are like Kaepernick this year, they haven't really played all that well on defense. That concerns me quite a bit with Kaepernick coming off his huge game. But, I mean, we can almost also guarantee that Colin Kaepernick isn't going to be breaking any more records NFL rushing-wise. I think that was obviously a one-game thing. So does he have, you know, what it takes to do it 2 weeks in a row against the Atlanta Falcons, who are riding high, you know, in the dome? That's the real question here. But I got to tell you, Tarvin, I really do think the 49ers are going to win this game. I think it's going to be very close. But, you know, I think that the 49ers, the way that offense is running and the way Kaepernick's playing, is going to be problematic for the defense of the Falcons.
Yeah, but the one thing I think that benefits the Falcons, you know, going into this game preparing is you're the number one seed, you're at home, and you're a five-point underdog. So if I'm a Falcons coach, player, I'm going to have a chip on my shoulder because now the monkey is off my back. I beat Seattle. I've got that playoff game win behind me. But now you're playing a team that you're – honestly, if you're a Falcons player, you think you're better than San Francisco. Your resume proves you are. But I just don't believe in this Kaepernick kid, again, to go on the road in a hostile environment in a dome and actually play consistent enough to win. I really think the Falcons, this is their season right now. I don't know if they'll win the Super Bowl, but I really do believe they're going to sweep past San Francisco, and it's going to be Michael Turner is going to be a big key in this game. He's going to play a huge role. He's going to get his 100 yards. But the key is, Trey, can the defense of Atlanta kind of bottle up Kaepernick?
Well, I mean, you kind of hit the point that I actually wanted to make, and I'll make the flip argument. I think that the running attack for the Atlanta Falcons is going to be the problem in this game. I think Turner rushes between 50 and 70 yards. That's not enough to get really the pressure off Matt Ryan. And I just think Matt Ryan makes a bigger mistake than Kaepernick in this game. I think it's going to be very close, Tarvin. I'm predicting like a 23-20 win for San Francisco. This time the field goal bites Atlanta, and it's the 49ers who get the field goal.
Oh, man. So looking at this game, you think Matt Ryan's going to make a mistake at home more than you do you see Kaepernick on the road?
Well, and here's why, is I think that Colin Kaepernick is going to use his feet when he gets in trouble, and I think that's going to lead to just more rushing yards, where I think Matt Ryan's going to throw the ball into coverage. I think that's, you know, that's where the mistake happens here. I'm not saying that Kaepernick's going to play mistake-free football, but I think in the fourth quarter, you know, when it counts, or the third quarter, late, that's where you might see the turnover that matters here.
I believe Abraham for the Falcons is out of this game, correct, Trey?
You know, I've heard he's questionable. I haven't heard one way or the other.
So I just don't know how they're gonna stop Kaepernick without him. I don't know what kind of plan they're gonna come up with, but I have to believe that they've seen this coming for a while now, how to stop this, and they've seen it. So hopefully these coaches for Atlanta can come in and actually get a game plan up that they can get them to the Super Bowl. This is where you see players play their best, Trey. This is what they've lived their whole lives to do. This almost is bigger than the Super Bowl to them. I mean, this is the NFC and AFC championship game. So I really think Atlanta wants to be there more than San Francisco right now.
Well, you know, it's possible. I think this is going to be a close game either way. I do think the Falcons will play pretty well in this game. I just really, you know, I worry about Kaepernick and his legs in this game. I worry that Matty Ice, you know, who, you know, he does have that monkey off his back, but how did he play in game one with the monkey off his back?
Yeah, but hey, I want to say hi to some people in the chat room real quick. Brian Burgess is in the chat room. We have a guest, Jason Humphrey, Jonathan Miklos, Juan Aponte, Michael Lusader, Sonia Minson, Cuervo is in the house, and Tino Blackstock. So welcome, everyone, to the chat room. Thanks for joining in. And let us know what you guys think about the game right now, the Falcons and the Niners. Is anyone giving Atlanta a chance to win besides me? So I need some backup. Trey's not on my side tonight. So Tino, Sonia, Cuervo, who's going to win the Atlanta-San Francisco game? Let us know. But Trey, I just wonder where the mindset of Atlanta is right now. It's just hard to get a grasp of what they're really thinking right now after almost losing, surrendering that huge lead to Seattle. And then San Francisco went on the road or was at home and actually took care of business and made it look easy. So it's really hard for me to put my finger on, Trey, which team's mindset's better going into this?
Yeah, Yeah, and that's one of the questions I have about Atlanta is, you know, they had the big emotional win. The 49ers controlled their game, but the Falcons, you know, that huge comeback, the field goal, you know, the emotions riding high. It was clearly, I mean, you know, Tony Gonzalez was crying after the game because he finally won a playoff game. You know, Matt Ryan had a huge monkey on his back. I mean, you could tell his relief that I finally won one. You know, people had said so far that they couldn't win at home. I mean, so there's just so many emotions going in Atlanta. I just really do wonder about their preparation this week. How long did it take them to sort of set back to zero?
Yeah. And Trey, we're going to take a call real quick from the 541 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, Brian, Trey, it's me, Jason Humphrey from Eugene, Oregon.
Hey, Jason, what's up, man?
Hey, have you guys talked about the Chip Kelly and Riz Oregon yet? And I just wanted to get your thoughts in like a nutshell so I could give you guys my thoughts.
Yeah, we've already discussed that. So if you want to, you can give us your thoughts real quick.
My thoughts for Oregon is I think we're going to be fine in the long run. It's just all depends who we get. Do we promote the offense coordinator, Mark Helfrich? If the guy coming in is running a spread offense, I think we'll be fine because we do have the athletes and whatnot. I think Oregon's going to drop off a little bit, but I think Oregon should be a top 10 program because of what the facilities we have and the resources we have to be a good program. So,
yeah, Jason, man, thanks for the call, and maybe next show we can talk about it more. But Trey, Jason's a big Oregon Ducks fan. I don't think he saw it coming either, but good luck, Jason, to your Ducks. I know it's going to be tough to replace Chip Kelly. I don't know if you can right now, but good luck anyway. So, Trey, tell me about Harbaugh right now, the coach for the Niners. I don't know what to think. Tell me his mindset and your opinion after that game. Do you think it's going to be on his mind that if he wins, he could possibly play his brother? Do you think that'll play any kind of factor in it?
I think, you know, in a human type of way, you have to be thinking that. But I think he probably thinks like I do, like the Ravens have their hands full. He probably should focus on his own game. Because, I mean, you know, let's be honest, the Ravens are not going to be favored in that game by a lot. And, you know, the 49ers actually have a much better chance to win. I think what Harbaugh is focused on this week is, you know, how do I keep Kaepernick hot? You know, how do I start the game with him? Do I start him on a certain playlist and, you know, run these plays, play that play? Or, you know, am I ready to let the keys to the car to this kid and really let him go out the offense? So I think they're still running a truncated version of their offense. I know that's not what they're saying, but to me, when I watch their team play, I still think they're not opening up the entire playbook for him.
And looking at it, the Atlanta Falcons right now, though, Trey, I really believe, you know, looking over their defense, I think being at home in this game, and everybody tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, tell me if you disagree, 646-716-5564. If you look at the defense of Atlanta, I think it's played better this season. And I think in a game like this, when it's elimination game, the NFC Championship, I think the crowd is going to play a huge factor in this. And I'm just wondering how Kaepernick's going to handle this being on the road against the Falcons. The Falcons, to me, the only thing that worries me is Kaepernick running wild. They need to find a game plan where they can shut this kid down and limit his runs. We don't want to see 3rd and 13 and Kaepernick, you know, spurt out trade for about 20 yards. I think a few of those will break the Falcons' back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Kaepernick and his rushing attack is going to be a very, very important thing for Atlanta to stop. I think that they're going to be able to stop Gore. They're going to have some success there, especially if Abraham plays. But you're right, without him, I don't.
Yeah, and I'm going to pick Atlanta. Trey's going to pick San Francisco, guys. And let's go in the chat room to see what everybody's saying. Jonathan's picking Atlanta, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. Sonia's picking Atlanta. Oh, Jonathan's picking San Fran, I'm sorry. So just looking through it, it looks like we were split in the chat room. So, what a game. I think, Jonathan, you said San Francisco's favored 3.5. I think they're favored 5 now, 4.5 or 5. The Cuervo's picking San Francisco. Jason Humphrey's picking 49ers by 10. To, you know, that's about right. That's where a lot of people are putting this game. But don't be surprised if that, since you see that monkey off their back, guys, that Atlanta comes in and plays. I'm not sold on the consistency of the Niners, and I don't believe Trey is either. So that's one thing right there that worries me. So let's go to 213 area code real quick. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
What's going on, Brian? This is Cuervo. How are you?
Oh, good, Cuervo. Man, I wish I had some introduction music for you, man.
No, it's quite all right. It's quite all right. But I just wanted to call in and return the favor because I know you come on our show a lot. So, you know, just wanted to talk a little, I guess, NFC Championship as of right now. Yeah, I like San Francisco in this game.
Tell me why.
Well, I just think right now, I mean, you have to factor in the way Atlanta let a 20-point lead at home slip away, you know, through their hands against a – I mean, Seattle's a good football team. However, when you look at San Francisco, I mean, they're just – they're a more dynamic team overall. You know, you look at Kaepernick, the way he played last week. I don't think anybody expects him to have the same type of game. But at the same time, you know, you look at the offensive line, I think they're going to definitely do a good job creating holes for Frank Gore to run through and, you know, create opportunities for Kaepernick to do things like, you know, just, you know, do whatever he wants really offensively. So the key has got to be, and somebody mentioned it, I don't remember who, but, you know, you have to have a spy on Kaepernick. You know, Green Bay did not do that the whole game. And you would think, by, you know, at the second half, and this is what I was talking about on our show, you know, Green Bay didn't make any adjustments defensively, and that surprised me because, you know, Dom Capers is known for being a guy that can make some adjustments, and it didn't happen. So that kind of shocked me a little bit that, you know, he didn't make any adjustments and put Clay Matthews as a spy right there in the middle or somebody at the linebacker position and, you know, contain Kaepernick. So if Atlanta can do that, then I think, you know, they have a good chance to contain him. You're not going to stop him. You can only contain him. At the end of the day, though, I think the defense of the 49ers is what's going to get the job done for them.
Well, I know, Les, you and I both felt very confident about Green Bay's chances of going on the road and carving up that San Francisco team, but I was very disappointed and actually surprised that San Francisco handled them that easily. But you know, that's here or there. But I really think Atlanta, you're right about, you know, spying him. I don't know. Do you have an idea who do you think they'll get to spy him?
For Atlanta, I would think probably, even though I'm not sure how fast he is, so I would say probably Witherspoon would probably be the guy that they want to use on defense.
But can Atlanta score on San Francisco enough?
I
want to turn it around a little bit and look at Atlanta and Matt Ryan with the football.
Mm-hmm. I would have to say as long as they can keep a good balance like they did last week and keep that San Francisco defense on their toes, keep them guessing, that's going to be the best way. And I think an advantage that Atlanta has over a lot of teams is they have arguably, in my opinion, the best 1-2 wide receiver combination in the NFL in reality. So I think as long as they take advantage of the outside, you know, they have a really good chance at scoring some points. They have to, you know, take the game outside. Don't keep it inside because, you know, now you're asking Patrick Willis to get involved. So keep the game out on the outside of the field. Don't bring it in.
And I think the difference in this game, Trey, is the game's actually played in a dome in Atlanta. How much do you think that factors into this?
Well, I mean, I think it helps both teams, actually. I mean, obviously you have Atlanta at home, but, you know, the problem I have with Atlanta and their home crowd is if you watch last week's game, it wasn't really rocking in the dome for a little bit of time. It actually took some while for those fans to get going.
And, you know, that's the time that Kaepernick and that speed also plays well in the dome because you have all those guys running on turf. So, you know, that's going to make Kaepernick pretty tough because he was pretty fast on a very bad surface in San Francisco last week.
Cuervo?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think it can affect, you know, Kaepernick in a lot of ways. You know, Trey brought up a good point. I think also, you know, snap counts. I don't know if that's, you know, something that's they're gonna work on as far as if it does get loud, but you could see some false starts by San Francisco. And I know they're a very disciplined football team. However, when you can't hear something, you can't hear the cadences, then, you know, it's bound to happen. So I think that could be a big factor too.
Well, guys, when you look at the home crowd like advantage and Cuervo, you go to Chicago and you watch a game. Every fan in that stadium is a diehard Chicago Bears fan, correct?
Oh, without a doubt, yes.
And now in Atlanta, you know, you have a lot of bandwagon fans coming out of the woodwork that aren't true fans because, you know, they don't cheer when the going gets tough. I mean, if things are going bad, these guys don't cheer. But like Trey said, all of a sudden, you know, you win the game and then the crowd, you know, explodes. But I think that's the difference when you start talking about loyalty and fan base and crowd noise. I think that's one problem I have with the Falcons is some of these fair weather fans I'm seeing.
Well, they're just not a big market team, Brian. I mean, Atlanta's a big city, don't get me, you know, everybody knows that. But the Falcons as a franchise, they're not exactly, you know, a breadwinner in the NFL. You know, the breadwinners are teams like Green Bay, Pittsburgh, even you can even say San Francisco, Dallas. Dallas has got to be number one. You could stretch and say Chicago and teams like that. Atlanta and the NFL, it's small market for the most part. So, you know, when you talk about stuff like that, you know, that's the difference between Atlanta and, you know, some of the other, you know, bigger market teams.
Yeah. So Cuervo's picking San Fran, Trey's picking San Fran, and I'm not a Falcons fan. You know, I pull for the Falcons when they play most people, but I'm not a diehard Falcons fan. But this Sunday, guys, I'm going to be a diehard Falcons fan. I'm going to try to pull these guys through and get them to win. So I'm picking the Falcons by 3 points this weekend. So Trey, take us to that Patriots-Ravens game. Tell us what you think about it.
Well, you know, Tarvin, this game and the Patriots-Ravens, what's there to say? I know there's some history here. I know that the Ravens have played, you know, halfway decent against the Patriots, and we all remember that playoff game late last year, an AFC Championship game, and, you know, coming down to a missed field goal. You know, that was a great game. But I just don't see this team being as competitive with the Patriots in matchups as they were last year. I mean, I know this is Ray Lewis's last year. They have all that momentum going for them with that huge win last week. But this Patriot team, especially on offense last week, you just saw a very good game plan called and a very focused quarterback in Tom Brady. And you just, even without Gronkowski, I just think that that offense is going to be very hard for that Ravens defense to contain.
So, Cuervo, tell me your keys to the Ravens winning this game. Do you think it's possible, just like they went on the road and won in Denver last week?
It's definitely possible, Brian. You know, it's like Trey said. I mean, these two have a long history of, you know, playing each other in big games. I mean, last year wasn't the first time they faced each other in the playoffs. If you remember, I think it was 2009, Baltimore came to New England in the second round. And, you know, the Patriots, of course, were favored, as they always are. And, you know, Baltimore took it to them, you know, beat them by 20 points. So is it possible that they can do that again? I think it can be. I think the key for, you know, Baltimore has got to be, you know, Ray Rice. How do you utilize Ray Rice? You have to do more than just run up the middle and run to the left and run to the right. You have to find different ways to get him the football, just like they did last week against Denver. And that's going to be up to Jim Caldwell to do that.
Do you think that Flacco can actually put up 300 yards against this Patriots defense. And Cuervo, what I guess I want to ask is, what kind of game does Flacco need to have in order to pull this upset on the road? I think they're about a 9.5-point underdog.
I think Flacco, you know, and he doesn't need to put up, big Peyton Manning-like numbers or Brady numbers, 400 yards and four touchdowns. I think he just has to, do enough to get his team in position to score. Just like he did, he didn't put up big numbers last week. So it's just all about getting his team in position, let his running back do the rest.
Trey, I know you've always been on the Flacco bandwagon. What are your thoughts about the kind of performance he needs this Sunday?
Well, Flacco, 6 playoff wins. There's all this debate about him being elite. If you happen to, there's a website that has a very joking conversation between the quarterback, and there was a conversation this week about how Matt Ryan was now elite because he won 1 playoff game, and it was all about how Joe Flacco was angry because he's won 6 and no one seems to call him elite. But, here, joking aside, I think the keys to the game, if you want to watch the game, the tapes last week, the Ravens did very well throwing the ball down the field deep. And that's fine. They have that down. But that's not going to be enough to beat the Patriots. And if you watch the 2009 game, what Flacco did very well in that game is he had a good intermediate and short passing game down, because you can't just have 3-and-out home run and you beat the Patriots. That's not how it works, unless you just happen to have an amazing, on-fire game, which, quarterbacks have every now and again. But for this game, I think what really is going to is can he check down, swing pass to Rice for, 10 to 15-yard games? Can he go over the middle to Bolden for 10-yard games and hit his tight end? Can he move the football and keep that New England offense off the field enough to where when you hit the home run, it matters more? So, because the Patriots are going to be moving the ball. That's going to be the key. You can't, wait for a couple three and outs to hit a home run, because at that point the Patriots are down 14-0. So, you have to go back to that 2009 more formula where Joe Flacco was a little more consistent with his short passing game and his mid-range passing game.
Well, I think what Baltimore is going to do as well, the formula to beat them, Cuervo, is to put Tom Brady on his back. How many times can they knock him down? Even a couple personal fouls sometimes. Can they get into the head of Tom Brady, Cuervo, by knocking him, beating him up a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. And that's when New England has the football. Try to get into, and I'm sure Ray Lewis would love nothing more than to end his career by beating both Manning and Brady in the same season and get in both of their heads and finally, get over that mountain, so to speak. But, another thing to think about too, guys, is, get him on his back when he's on the field. But at the same time, you got to look at it too, do everything you can to keep him off the field. The time of possession, I think, is going to be very key. Whatever Baltimore does on first down, I think is going to be crucial, because if they can gain at least 5 to 6 yards on first down, then you're talking about short second downs and third and one opportunities for Baltimore. So I think first down play calling, it could be a very, important part of this football game. Also, somebody mentioned in the chat room about the tight ends. Absolutely. I don't think New England has very good safeties. So get those tight ends involved. Get Dixon down the middle. Get Dennis Pitta down the middle. So it's, it's going to be a game of chess. This is why these two are back in the same position they were last year.
But Cuervo, who's going to win?
Well, the way I'm talking right now, Brian, it sounds like I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. However, I just think when Brady is on the field, he's going to put points. And I just think, Belichick is going to, he always finds a way. New England doesn't get in the Super Bowl every year. But at the same time, there's just certain teams that have, their number of another team. So
New England, they have Baltimore's number every time, except for that 1 year. So I'm going to go with the Pats. I just think Belichick is going to outcoach Harbaugh. He's going to find ways to score points.
Ray, who are you going to pick? Are you picking the upset?
Well, no. I mean, I'm going to pick the Patriots. And I got to tell you, Tarvin, I think almost part of the success that the Ravens had last week could be the problem in this game. If you see Flacco trying to hit too many home runs, I also think that Ray Lewis, his swan song season, this is the last game possibly. But, my question about part of this is the matchups. Is Ray Lewis going to be the guy covering the running backs out of the backfield? I mean, you saw when Danny Woodhead got hurt, Shane Vereen came in and was running wheel routes and just destroying linebackers. That's a problem for the Ravens, actually, is which linebacker can cover him out of the backfield, and do the Ravens have an adjustment for that? And, does Belichick make adjustment off that if the Ravens are preparing it? So I agree with Cuervo. I think the matchups are a little bit problematic for the Ravens here. And like Belichick, the chess piece he's already set up, by winning last week though in the fashion they did, I like those adjustments the Ravens had to make this week to sort of figure out how to stop that. And now Belichick has the ability to already make the first move. And, I think that's where Tom Brady and that's where Belichick win this game. And I think it's going to be about a 10-point advantage.
Yeah, I think the Patriots win, and they win big. I think there's a lot of emotion last week, and I think Baltimore is just glad to be there in a way. I think they're, the emotion in that game where the Patriots won, to me, I mean, they didn't win by a lot of points, but they controlled the game, they controlled the tempo. I think Belichick proves a point this time. He doesn't, let them hang around to try to beat them before overtime with a field goal. I think Tom Brady comes out. And after losing the Super Bowl last year, Cuervo, I think Tom Brady took it personal, and I don't think he'll settle for anything less than this win.
No, absolutely not, Brian. I mean, and you remember the 18-1 season, the year after that. I mean, it was, he goes down, so he never really had a chance to, redeem himself or the team after losing the Super Bowl. So, this year they have the chance to get back again. And you're right. I think if they wind up losing whoever they play, if they make it, I really think it's whispers of the end of Brady's career will, I have a feeling, could start happening.
Well,
because then he's
going to
start thinking in his head, like, do I still have it?
I want to ask you guys a question. If Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl this year, I mean, if somebody told you he's the best quarterback of all time, Trey, what would you say?
That's a tough question because, you look at Super Bowl appearances. I think if he makes the Super Bowl this year, he ties John Elway for appearances, and if he wins it, it's number four, which ties in with, the great Joe Montana. You have to start considering Tom Brady as one of the best ever because of what he's done in the postseason. Now, he still hasn't put up, the Marino and the Favre numbers, but the point is when this guy gets in the postseason, I mean, he is absolutely deadly, and that's how Joe Montana, got his lore is, he didn't throw an interception in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's an amazing stat that Joe Montana put up. And Tom Brady, if he can get that fourth win, you're right up there with the greats.
Cuervo?
If somebody told – if the Patriots win this year, Brian, and somebody came up to me and said, with four rings, tied with Montana and Bradshaw, that Brady's the greatest of all time, I'd agree 100%. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. And I know some people will be shocked at that, but I'm going to tell you why. This is the difference between – Brady and a lot of those other quarterbacks, okay? 99% of the time, in any sport, baseball, or, for the most part, basketball and football in the NBA and in the NFL, a lot of guys go through growing pains. Even Michael Jordan went through it. He didn't win a championship in his first season. However, that's the difference between Tom Brady and everybody else. As soon as he came into the league, as soon as he took over for Drew Bledsoe, it was instant success. And it hasn't stopped since he's been the quarterback of the New England Patriots. They've gone and they've won three rings. They've been to five Super Bowls. His whole career has been nothing but success. There was no time period where he went through those growing pains. And to me, that's what separates him from everybody else. So, yeah, if somebody was to say, you know, Brady's the greatest of all time with the four rings, I wouldn't disagree one bit.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, you can't really argue it if someone has that opinion after winning four rings and what he's done. But Jonathan in the chat room, good point. He hasn't won a title since 04. That's a long time. I mean, Brady knows that he doesn't have too many years left probably, but, you know, to win another Super Bowl. And I really think if he wins this year, he'll probably be favored next year, Cuervo and Trey. And you know, getting five just doesn't look like it's out of the question.
Well, he's still got a lot of time to play. I mean, I don't think Brady is in the twilight of his career. I think, you know, Peyton Manning is. I think you definitely know that. But, I mean, I think you're talking about Tom Brady probably has, you know, at least five more seasons as long as he's putting up numbers. He's not going to be forced out of New England. So, you know, I don't agree that he's near the end. I mean, I think he's still got a lot of runs left possibly in him. As long as Belichick's coaching and Brady's upright, I mean, that team's going to be dangerous.
Trey, I heard Rob Mallett's close to beating him out for the starters job, Cuervo.
Say that one more time, Brian.
I heard Rob Mallett's close to beating out Tom Brady for the starting job right now.
Yeah, I hear he's really close too. it's quite the battle.
Sorry, Carl, I was just going
to tell you that. There's a quarterback in Kansas City who wishes he was Ryan Mallett right now.
Who's that?
The guy who used to be the starter in Kansas City, who used to be the backup for Tom Brady. I'm sure that he would take that backup role again because Matt Castle did not produce it on his own.
Man, he was terrible in Kansas City. I just think that system that he was in, you know, in Belichick, being able to coach him up, got him. At least he's rich now. You know, he got paid for that. So he was a fraud and a phony, but you know what? He's rich.
Well, yeah, if he kept his money.
All right, Cuervo, so you're going with the Patriots. I'm going with the Patriots. Trey's going with the Patriots as well. So let's look in the chat room real quick. Is there anybody, Trey's not in the chat room, so he can't really see. I haven't seen a lot of predictions since I haven't looked in there much. So I'm sure everybody's picking New England. I don't really think. Well, Tino's picking the Ravens, though. That's a ballsy pick, Tino. Jonathan's picking New England. I really don't think there's going to be much surprise here. But like I said, we're going an hour tonight, guys, and we're going to have to cut the show short. But Sunday night, you know, Monday's a holiday, so everybody join us Sunday night. We'll have a great show lined up. We got a lot of football to talk about, and we'll probably we may even extend the show out just a little bit to try to get that game over with, the last game of the NFL. So Cuervo, man, thanks for joining us, helping us out tonight. And Trey, appreciate all you do for the show, and everybody in the chat room, join us Sunday night at 9 o'clock, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Cuervo.
Thanks, all
right, no problem, guys. Take care. Have a good one.
All right, you too, buddy.